A few weeks ago, Mr. Bowles wrote in a pastor's report titled In Earthen Vessels, a section which really got to me. He said, "Many of us are now finding ourselves in a position we never expected, that of having to deal with the problems of old age. When we first came into the church, we certainly foresaw the need to overcome the world as ambassadors of a new age, which we anticipated was just over the horizon. But it didn't quite work out that way, and God has not seen fit to allow us to escape all the frailties, disabilities, and bereavements that so often accompany the aging process. Even though the coming millennium is likely to be free of the sicknesses that so often accompany aging, the indication is that during this time, also there will still be old men and women having to use a cane or a staff for support, as there will still be much for them to learn from the aging process." He then went on to quote a passage from Zechariah 8. So let's just turn there and read verses 3 to 6. In Zechariah 8, starting in verse 3. "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." This really got me thinking. What will it be like to grow old in the millennium? Obviously, our hope and destiny is to have a spirit body by this stage. But what will it be like for those that we are given to teach and to govern? In our era of civilization, we are programmed to view aging as something negative, something that needs to be hidden or covered up. This preconception struck me a few years ago when I was at the barber's. There I was, sat in the chair, watching the barber in the mirror, trying to make the best and do what he could to make this look presentable, when he said in a very calm voice, "Do you want me to do anything with the grey ones?" For a second or two I was shocked, and then I responded, "Yes. Don't ever mention them again." It sure broke the silence in the barber's shop, as everyone, including the barber himself, started to laugh. But it highlighted just how much the persistent broadcast that is prevalent in modern media had rubbed off. Grey hair is not something to be embarrassed about, something that needs to be hidden. To God, grey hair is a thing of beauty and glory. Just put in your notes Proverbs 20 and verse 29. "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the grey head." And Proverbs 16 verse 31. "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Then, of course, don't forget how Christ appears when he returns. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, taken, of course, from Revelation 1, verse 14. So what will growing old in the millennium be like? Well, first and foremost, it will be something that is honoured and not despised, as per the Proverbs we just read. But like most things pertaining to the millennium, we see through a glass darkly. We are given principles and a few snippets of God's way of thinking throughout the Bible. The big problem is that sometimes, as a result of the speculative nature of the millennium, we can become misguided by our own speculation. But there is another way that gives us a clue on how things are going to be. As Mr. Henderson brought out the other day, every aspect of society today is wrong and needs to be changed, as it is built on the wrong foundation. So perhaps the easiest way to get an idea of what things will be like in the millennium is to look at how they are now. especially when this ties up with prophecy, and then look at the complete antithesis. Today, the elderly are largely despised. They are picked on by criminals, exploited by businesses, and then, in many cases, locked away from families in care homes. In a sad indictment on the nations of Israel, the majority of the nations on the earth that actually respect their elderly are Gentiles. And then we read in Isaiah 3 and verse 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths." In the millennium, the godly structure of authority from the top down will be implemented, and the elderly will be both respected and honoured. Just note Leviticus 19 verse 32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honour the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Eternal." As Mr. Bowles pointed out in his recent update, age-related illnesses likely to be a thing of the past, and good riddance. But yet there will still be things that need to be learnt from the ageing process. So how long will life and old age be? Well, as was brought out in a message earlier in the feast, the millennium will bring it with it the restoration of all things. And for all my years as a child in the church, that meant that we were going to live for 1,000 years, because before the flood, people lived for well into their 900s. The thing is that the restoration of all things doesn't mean taking things back to where they were pre-flood. It means restoring things to how they were before Adam sinned. We have no idea how long Adam would have lived as a physical human being had he taken of the tree of life instead. As Mr. Armstrong pointed out many times, if Adam had taken of the tree of life, he wouldn't have become a spirit being immediately. He would have been given the Holy Spirit and would then have lived his life, overcoming and developing the godly character required to then become a spirit-born son of God. Exactly how long this would have taken, we are not told. But this is the point that things will be restored to in the millennium. Turn, if you would, please, to Genesis 3. And we'll read the passage when God confronts Adam after he had taken of the forbidden fruit. In Genesis 3, in verse 11, God asks Adam, "Have you taken of the fruit that I commanded you not to eat?" And then, rather than standing up and taking responsibility and accountability for his own actions, he replies in verse 12, "The woman who you gave me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat." Eve then follows the same line of defense in verse 13. And the Eternal says unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." In verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the day of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return." That phrase at the end of verse 17, where it says, "all the days of thy life," could also be translated as, "until you run out." God's original plan for Adam was that he would look around him, see the divine nature of God in the physical creation that he saw, and decide that he wanted to be part of the God family and take of the tree of life. As I mentioned, he would have then received the Holy Spirit and gone on to learn and overcome until one day his physical life would end, and he would have been changed into a spirit being. Instead of dying, you shall die. It would have been dying, you shall live. This wouldn't have been when he ran out, as that was only added as part of the curse after he rebelled. It is more likely that he would have been changed when he was old, but yet in his prime, possibly around the 100 mark. In any form of engineering or construction project, if you have to design something for a specific longevity, what should be done is you come up with a design that will well outlive the required time period. It's called over-engineering. And anyone who has ever worked with me will have heard me say, if it's not over-engineered, it's under-engineered. And that isn't acceptable. This was the way we as a nation used to think. When a building was designed back in the Victorian era, for example, there was an expectation that it would be still standing in 1,000 years' time. In this country, there are buildings that are still standing, and way older than that. Sadly, today, we design things to last 1 month longer than the warranty. But when God fearfully and wonderfully made man, he will have over-engineered him. And we're all proof of this in this age. Immediately after the creation, the water was pure, the air was pure, the plants and the animals were pure. Adam and Eve rejected God's way and were driven from the garden, and the curse was put on it. Their whole lives, that angel would have been visible, standing at the entrance to the garden, stopping their way back in. By the time of the flood, from what we can see in Scripture, the very genetics of the humans, let alone the animals, was being corrupted. So God intervenes to once more purify the creation. After the flood, the Garden of Eden would have been washed away. No more was there a need for an angel to protect access to it, but at the same time, the environment had changed. It's possible that this is when the huge continental plates shifted and the current world layout as we know it came into being. Then over the next few hundred years, the life expectancy of man reduced steadily. It didn't just drop to 70 straight away. Although by the time we get to King David, that was considered his allotted time. Fast forward a bit to this age, and we live in a time where everything is corrupted. The water, the air, the soil, the plants, the animals, and even the very human beings themselves. And yet this fearfully and wonderfully made creation still keeps going, despite all the illnesses and diseases that humanity has brought on itself. Although we are looking forward to a spirit body, I think we're all going to be amazed at the vast difference when we get to compare what human beings became in comparison to what God originally created. But when all things are restored, and the whole environment is restored, and those physical people who enter the millennium are healed and given the Holy Spirit and taught how to live without destroying the environment, then we will see the children playing in the streets and the old man with his stick to lean on. Although it wouldn't surprise me if the old man was more than able to kick the ball back to them if it bounced over his way, and the children would have great respect for him, because they would know that very soon that old man would be changed and would become another spirit-born son of God. So how will we grow old in the millennium? Well, people won't just grow old graciously. They will grow old gloriously.